We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin. Now, wait a minute. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, are you supposed to sin?
I'm righteous, covered in the blood.
Jesus. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In other words, if you read that in the NLT, you'll find out it says that those that are born of God do not practice sinning. Now, that's true. We're not, we as children of God, if God says do not have any sin in your life, but grumbling is sin, how many of us have sinned in the last week? All of us. Okay. So then are we not born again? No, we're not supposed to practice sinning. You mess up once in a while. But you, now that you know that God says, I don't like grumbling and complaining, what should we do? We should make it our goal from now on to do no grumbling and complaining, right?
And listen for the Holy Spirit to remind
us. And listen, that's right, for the Holy Spirit to convict you. We know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning, but he that is begotten of God or born again keeps himself from evil, and the wicked one cannot touch you.
Praise God.
Hey, is that good news? Till now then, if you start grumbling and complaining, you're sinning.
Right.
So now then, that beast can get you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how many of you would like to have it so that the devil would never bother you again?
Amen.
Ooh, I don't want the devil to ever bother me again.
Right.
So there's a way I can do that. And that is obey God and not sin. He says, if I don't sin, the evil... Is that what that says?
Yeah.
The evil one cannot touch me. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is begotten of God or born again keeps himself from all evil. And when you keep yourself, that wicked one, which is Satan, touches him not.
So much easier said than done.
Well, I know it's easier said than done. But that's why I have to read it over and over and over all the time. Because when I realize, let's stop and think about this. When I read that scripture right there, I can flip it over this way and say that if I sin, the devil has legal claim to me. He can get me. Is that what that says? I mean, do you want the devil turn loose on you? If you do, you got something wrong with you. You are no match for the devil when he has legal right for you. You know that? You're no match. So if he has legal claim to you and he hates you with a passion, and now he gets legal claim to you, what do you think he's going to do to you? He's going to glow. Oh, he said, look at this woman. She's sinning. Or this man. I can get him now because he's sinning. I love it, he says. And he starts putting something on you. Sickness, disease, pain, or whatever. Or starts messing with your car, breaking your washing machine, or all kinds of things. And you start saying, devil, get out of my house in the name of Jesus. He calls in reinforcements. The minute you start rebuking him, driving him away, he says, come on in here, boys. This guy's living in sin. Let's get him. He's trying to drive us out. He's not smart enough yet to realize that he's opened the door to us through sin. Come in. Let's get him. You know? Is one place in Scripture that says when the devil goes out, when he is cast out, he comes back and don't find that house swept or clean, still swept and clean. And he says, and he brings seven other of his friends more wicked than himself, and they re-enter that person. And now the condition of that person is worse than it was before.
If they haven't replaced that voice.
Yeah, in other words, if you don't start studying the Word, once you cast the devil out of somebody, if they say, well, I'm free of this sickness now, I don't have to go to church now, I don't have to study God's Word, I'm okay. I can just go play. I can go to lake fishing on Sunday, do whatever I want to. When the devil comes back and says, oh, look at this dummy. He didn't do nothing. I was cast out of here. Somebody come along that knew their power and authority, cast him out. Now look at this man. He hadn't done nothing. He hadn't put no word in him. He hadn't done nothing. He has no power. So he whistles over there to his seven friends that he found while he's out there walking around. Says, come on, boys. Let's re-enter this person. And the Lord says, that second state of that person is far worse than the first. See, so if you got a demon, you repent of sins, you kick that beast out, then what you should be doing is get in the Word. I mean, fill in your heart and mind with the Word.
Amen.
Calling God to ask Him to send warring angels to walk around you and protect you. Obeying Him. Otherwise, when the devil comes back, he says, woo, look at this man. Look at this woman. They got warring angels around them. They got the Word of God open in front of them. They're reading and studying. He said, you don't want to touch them. You get hurt over there. See, he's pretty smart. He knows. Now then, I want to start over. We got a lot of things here that we want to talk about. And under the new covenant, as children of God, the power that God has given us is just absolutely astronomical. But the thing about it is, you've got to remember that these things are all based, all the answers to your prayer and everything are based upon your obedience to His Word. If you're not obedient, then you're a sinner. And you're wicked. And He doesn't do anything for you very much. You know, maybe a little, but not much. He doesn't hear your prayer. He won't answer your prayer unless you're walking in obedience to His Word. There might be some little things that He might do for you, even in some of your disobedience. But if you really want to see God be glorified and do something great in your life, then walk in obedience to His Word. When you walk in obedience to His Word, then there's absolutely nothing that He won't do for you. Now I want to take you to Exodus 15:26, and I want to show you what He says He will do under the law. I want to show you something. I want to show you the average Christian today does not believe that we don't have to be sick. But the average Christian. I had the greatest privilege I've had in a long time the other day. I was asked to speak for an hour and a half in Southwestern Seminary. Man, that's a privilege. That's a Baptist seminary. And they asked me to come speak in Southwestern Seminary to a group of men working on their master's and their PhDs. And I got to talk to them about healing. And the dean of the school, Paige Patterson, he okayed it. I thought, wow, this is really something. But it was quite a blessing to get to speak to them. But one of the men, one of the pastors up on the front row, he asked me a question. In fact, one of the men on the back row asked a question just like it. He says, I have an uncle that was a deacon in the Baptist church. One of the greatest men you ever seen in your life. And he died with cancer. We prayed for him, and he still died. Why? I said, sin. There's sin. There's unbelief. There's only one answer. And then this other man standing up here on the front, he said, well, what are you going to do when you get sick and die? I said, I ain't going there with you. I said, one day I may die, but I ain't going to get sick to go there. You know, I'm going to walk holy in obedience to God's Word. I'm not going to put any doubt in there that saying I'll ever be sick, because I'm going to do my best to walk holy in obedience to God's Word. And then He made me a promise, as He made you in Exodus 15:26, and I want you to see this. He says, under the law, He's talking to all the people, and He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Now see, we don't know what diligence means. Diligence is going to church on Sunday. After all, give me a break. If I give God 1 hour, if I'm a man and I go to church, I don't have time to go to Bible study. I don't have time to go back Sunday night, but I'm going to give God 1 hour on Sunday morning from 11 until 12, and then what else could He possibly want? There's a lot of people think like that, right? Good grief, study the Bible during the week. Doesn't He know I got to watch my football games and I got to watch my television programs and I got to read my newspapers? I don't have time to read this book. Well, okay, go ahead and be sick if you want to. It's your choice. God, He made you a set of statements. He don't get upset with you. He still loves you the same. But here's what He said. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, the voice of God is His Word. That's what it is. If you'll hearken, diligently hearken to it, and will do that which is right in His sight. Now, not your sight. Not what you've heard some preacher say, not what you think is okay, but you obey the written word of the living God. if you will do that which is right in God's sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep how many of His statutes? Can't mess up in one. Does that mean you got to stop grumbling and complaining?
Yes.
If you keep all of them, that's what you got to do, right? Sure.
Amen.
And keep all of His statutes. Then He says, I will put how many of these diseases?
None.
I like that, don't you? I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, He's also the one that makes them sick, wasn't it? Wasn't He the one that did it?
Yep.
You know, a lot of people have a hard time believing that God will make you sick. I had a hard time with this. But I can prove this from the Word of God now over and over and over and over. You know, God is God. And He is in control of the universe. How many of you believe that God is God and He's in control of the universe? Do you believe not even a sparrow falls to the ground except He says, okay? Do you believe every hair on your head is numbered? Now, that's something, isn't it? Every hair on your head is numbered. One or two falls out? I have one or two fall out every once in a while, don't you, brother? That you think His computer calculates that just like that? Isn't that something, that He can be that awesome? I couldn't count the hair on my head. Even a man that's nearly bald, I can't count the hair on his head. He's got more than I can count. But you take a guy with a head of hair like mine, I could never count this hair. Like this young man right there. Man, he's got a head of hair too, but it's a little darker than mine. You know, but I could never count every hair on his head. I mean, if you were to give me 2 or 3 weeks, I could never count them and get it accurate. But He knows all the time. He knows that about everything. So God's in control of everything. He knows everything about you. You can't do anything behind His back. He even knows what you're thinking.
Yep.
And boy, that came home to me the other day. There was a young girl that I'd still know her, but this young girl, she had been married once for several years, and then her husband left her, and then she had started going with this other young man. He had never been married.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.